You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're in Matthew chapter 13, and last time we considered the parable of the sower and the seeds. Before I get into the next parable that is chronicled in Matthew chapter 13, I want to once again refresh your memory on this powerful parable. In Matthew 13, verses 3 through 9, Jesus says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop of 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches." The second parable chronicled by Matthew is a parable that I want to focus in on today, a parable referred to as the parable of the wheat and the weeds, vicariously, the wheat and the tares. Hear the words of our Lord as he likens the kingdom of heaven to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The first thing that comes to mind here, at least for me, is the similarity between wheat and weeds, often translated as darnel or tares. In other words, the picture presented in this parable is the picture of an enemy sowing a kind of grass-like vegetation that resembles the real McCoy, the devil, the enemy, the one who sows a counterfeit amongst the wheat. Well, he is a master of disguise. He doesn't present deception in its full naked deformity. Why? Because if he did, few would buy into his horrific deceptions. Instead, He presents the skin of the truth stuffed with an insidious lie. And he does it over and over again. And therefore, just as Darnell might at first seem to be wheat, so Satan fashions his lies to resemble truth. As falsehood follows truth, and as false prophets follow true prophets, so Antichrist is going to arrive after Christ. As St. John explains it to his little children in 1 John chapter 2, as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Such Antichrists are heretics. They're heretics who pervert the truth of Christ, and in the process, they lead multitudes astray. Well, not all that long ago, I read an article about Bishop John Shelby Spong, now deceased. The article was a glowing testimony of how he was a true disciple of Jesus Christ. John Shelby Spong, a well-known and broadly published Episcopalian priest who served as Bishop of Newark, the spiritual leader of more than 40,000 New Jersey Episcopalians and hundreds of thousands more influenced by his writings and by his speeches. Well, after I read the article, I sat down and listened to his last public lecture. A lecture in which he railed against the creeds of Christianity. Again, this is someone posited as a true Christian scholar. And yet he rails against the creeds of Christianity, against the Trinity, against the Incarnation, and so much more. In this particular lecture that I listened to, he proclaimed himself a disciple of Jesus, and then he proceeded to completely redefine the historical Jesus as, well, a mere man who, when put to death, was simply a man who passed out of existence, who as it were, proceeded into non-being. Well, John Shelby Spong went on to say that theistic churches are anathema and that the hymns of the church, hymns such as Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art, are, well, he called them sadomasochistic. Particularly, he said, those hymns that speak of God chastening us with a rod of mercy. And for John Shelby Spong, as I've said before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Darwin's Tree of Life, it's a reality. He was certain life arose from a single cell to form human beings replete with consciousness. And as a fundamentalist from the left, he was unwilling to so much as consider the reality that the Cambrian explosion clearly uprooted Darwin's Tree of Life, or for that matter, the utter lack of evidence for the origin of species by means of common descent and natural selection. Now, I bring all of this up simply to say that this is a poignant example of Satan sowing tares among the wheat. Bishop Shelby Spong is hailed as a follower of Christ, a bishop, and yet a man who has spent a lifetime redefining God, redefining Jesus Christ of Nazareth, redefining the resurrection, and redefining the true meaning of life. A counterfeit pawned off on Western culture as a speaker of truth, and as a bishop evolving the church toward a supposed true destiny of greatness. at the harvest, however, the wheat and the tares will be eternally separated, not according to my word, but according to the word of the Lord. Well, following the parable of the wheat and the weeds, we're going to get into the next parable in Matthew's gospel, a parable that chronicles the story of a mustard seed. We'll get into that and all a whole lot more when we return on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, my sincere thanks, my heartfelt thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You truly are making a difference not only in America, but around the world. We'll be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
University professor Neil Thomas was a committed Darwinist and agnostic until an investigation of evolutionary theory led him to the startling conclusion that he had been conned. As he studied the work of Darwin's defenders, he found himself encountering tactics eerily similar to the methods of political brainwashing he had studied as a scholar. Thomas felt impelled to write a book as a sort of warning call to humanity. Beware, you have been fooled. The result is Taking Leave of Darwin, a fascinating history and analysis of the evolution debate, written in exquisite prose. Thomas shows that objections to evolutionary theory raised by Darwin's own contemporaries have never been effectively answered. To receive your copy of Taking Leave of Darwin, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As I said before we went to break, the parable that follows the parable of the wheat and the weeds is a parable of the mustard seed. But before I get to this parable, I should note that Jesus does not leave the parable of the wheat and the weeds unexplained. Here's the explanation given by our Lord in Matthew 13, verses 36 to 43. Listen carefully. For when he had left the crowd, he went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The inevitable consequence of Christ's disciples, and vicariously the inevitable consequence for all of us, is that as a result of hearing this poignant parable, that we exercise the discipline of self-examination, that we ask ourselves the question, am I wheat or am I weed? We ought to consider carefully what's going to happen at the final judgment. What will we experience? Will I continue to exist in the presence of God, or in accord with the word of our Lord, will I be separated from his goodness and his glory and his grace for all eternity? Am I a child of the devil? Or have I been adopted into the family of God? I think it's also noteworthy that while Christians often want the Lord of the universe to exact judgment against evil right here, right now, God is patient, much more patient than we are. He is compassionate, more compassionate than we. And so he acted decisively in history through the cross and resurrection, and will again at the time of his second coming. But in the meantime, the wheat and the weeds will continue to grow together until sin and Satan are weeded out of the kingdom. I often say that sandwiched between the parable of the wheat and the weeds, as one of the most poignant of all parables. So you have the parable of the wheat and the weeds, you have a poignant explanation, and then you have the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. The kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is like a mustard seed when a man took and planted it in his field. And though it is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants, becomes a tree so that birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Jesus here, he makes plain that what is rooted in the smallest of beginnings will eventually encompass the whole earth. This not only in terms of numbers and reach, but also in terms of inward growth of virtue and vitality. The seed of faith sown in the heart of human beings around the globe has caused them to face even martyrdom, because it, like the strongest of trees, can't be uprooted, even uprooted by the fiercest of storms that engage us in the present life. I should also say, not even by those who are intent on making Jesus out to be a false apocalyptic prophet who could not possibly have been God in human flesh, for has been uttered in incomprehensible ignorance, Jesus is mistaken. If he were truly God, he must surely have known that there are many seeds that are smaller than a mustard seed. One such critic I've mentioned before in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a critic not only of Jesus but of the Bible, is Professor Bart Ehrman. He is the religious studies professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And he's continuously seeking to convince an ever-growing cadre of devotees that the Bible is a dishonest book. I mean, that's actually what he says, a dishonest book littered with deceptions and errors and he says, even outright lies. And the use of deception to promote truth, well, says Ehrman, this is one of the most unsettling ironies of the early Christian tradition. And a primary reason that Ehrman says he transitioned from fundamentalist on the right to fundamentalist on the left. This parable of the mustard seed sort of pushed him over the edge. It's a mistake, he says, that applies to bigger issues and bigger errors. Errors such as Jesus falsely predicting that his generation would experience the end of the world. Well, such shop-worn canards are not limited to Ehrman, of course, but he has simply been on the forefront of using them as a means toward advancing an unholy cottage industry, and he's done pretty well at it. Hopefully, one of his students will eventually raise a hand and politely ask for an opportunity to clarify the professor's clouded reasoning, to suggest he consider the matter of genre. Because just as a legal brief differs in form from fantasy literature, so too a parable that concerns a mustard seed differs in form and function from a technical discussion on horticulture. As with metaphors, the danger is always to interpret an extended simile in a strictly wooden and literal sense. And the kingdom of God is obviously not like a mustard seed in every way, nor does Jesus intend to make his parable walk on all fours. A kingdom doesn't look like a mustard seed, nor is a mustard seed the smallest seed in the kingdom. Rather, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed in the sense that it begins small and becomes large. Jesus quite obviously knew that an orchid seed is smaller than a mustard seed, and likewise, he would have known that an orchid seed would have been profoundly inept for the purpose of this parable. Jesus used the smallest seed familiar to a Palestinian farmer, a small seed that, unlike an orchid seed, grows to have big branches so that the birds of the air can perch in its shade. And he uses this to illustrate that the kingdom of God began in obscurity, but would one day fill the earth. I want at this point to move on to the parable of the leaven or the yeast, but I am going to have to hold that for the next broadcast because I am flat out of time. I only have time to let you know that if you haven't subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, our flagship magazine, you can remedy that woeful condition by simply going to the web at equip.org and subscribing to the Christian Research Journal online. It is an award-winning magazine that teaches you discernment skills, the kind of discernment skills you need when you encounter people like the aforementioned Bart Ehrman. Thanks again for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. When we come back next time in the Gospel of Matthew, we'll continue with the parable told by Jesus Christ, a parable of yeast or leaven. It's powerful. Next time.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.